Welcome back to Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. And in this episode 11, I'm looking at Chinese writing for real, the history of the Chinese writing system. The Chinese writing system is one of the oldest writing systems in the world, and unlike others such as cuneiform, which was used to write Sumerian over 5,000 years ago, it is still in use today, albeit in a somewhat different form from its origins. We have evidence of Chinese writing from as early as 1200 BCE, while there are further indications that Chinese writing was already used well before that time, perhaps as much as 1,000 years earlier. The initial characters were typically inscribed in pieces of turtle shell or ox bones, referred to as oracle bones. Their name gives away their function, and indeed they were used to tell the future and fortunes of the users. People would write a question onto the shell or bone, heat it over the fire, and then interpret the resulting cracks in the material. At the same time, characters were also written cast in bronze. These were arguably more refined, as it was easier to write in the clay that would be used to cast a bronze item than it was to engrave images in bone or shell. The resulting characters on the oracle bones were a bit more angular and thus abstract, which in turn is actually somewhat more similar to modern Chinese writing. The bronze characters, on the other hand, were often elaborate pictures. While there is evidence of other writing, such as on bamboo and using brush and ink, examples are not very common, as these materials usually don't keep very well, at least not as well as bones and bronze. Despite many of these documents being lost, we have a huge amount of information about the history of China, starting with oracle bones and bronze casts, all the way through to modern writing, and it's all recorded through a continuous writing system. This is unique across the world, and one of the reasons why Chinese is sometimes referred to as the oldest language, which, of course, is not strictly true, as other languages were spoken at the same time too. We just don't have the same record of written materials for those languages. Indeed, even today, some indigenous languages, and some I have worked on myself, have a very short history of written records, if any at all. The Chinese writing system is typically referred to as a logographic system, and as in other logographic systems, the first signs, in developmental terms, were depicting actual things. We have evidence of this from other languages that developed similar writing systems. Images were used to represent real-world concepts, such as animals. At first, these drawings would have been quite random and different every time, but once they became established, it became important to find ways to disambiguate between similar-looking animals, using different depictions. The signs became standardized, and actual likeness with the real thing was no longer important. Rather, distinguishing between different animals in the most efficient way, following a norm, became the driving force. When looking at the development of writing, the next step typically involves extending the logographic system to some metaphorical concepts. Thus, nouns like thought or love would be depicted next. There are various ways in which such signs developed in languages with logographic writing systems. Let me give an example from modern Chinese to illustrate the point. In this particular case, I'm not looking at how the characters actually developed, but I'm giving an example to show how this could happen in principle that makes it relatively easy to understand as well. Similar sounding words in the spoken language can be depicted by similar characters, recognizing the likeness in sound. Imagine you have a word, ma, referring to the animal horse. There are other words pronounced ma in the language, such as mammoth and stag. Now you could use the same sign to refer to all of these. But what if the meaning was ambiguous? you could be talking about the bones of a horse you have found, or the bones of a mammoth. Well, the scribes writing down these early logographic languages came across this issue and had to develop tools to get around the ambiguity. In Chinese, they added little extra marks to the existing characters to make it clear what they were talking about, and thereby disambiguating signs. While the sign for horse appeared as one character, mammoth was subsequently written with a little extra mark, an element for animal, that this was a ma, but not the prototypical one, but it was still an animal. The verb to stack was using another element together with this ma form. This element is stone. So the stone element appeared together with the horse element to show that in this case, it was something that was sounding like ma, but actually had something to do with stones. And what do you do with stones? Well, imagine stones being stacked. I guess it's not too far-fetched. Such meaning extensions also developed in other logographic languages. Cuneiform, our Sumerian language, did the same, but not as cleverly as Chinese. The additions were not narrowed or abbreviated in the same way as in Chinese. You would have various characters appearing together, making the arising system very complex, and it was very unclear where one element would start or end, or whether these were separate elements. This is likely to have contributed to the system eventually being abandoned. Chinese, using these smaller meaning elements, was not running into the same problems. It was creating new signs that would consist of a sound element and a meaning element. And these complex characters would still be clearly distinguishable as characters in their own right because the components would be squashed together and the overall size of the character wouldn't change. The little meaning elements we've come across before. There are radicals, and in Chinese they're referred to as buxiao, radicals. In developmental terms, as the writing system became more complex, not just words sounding entirely the same, homophones were used in this way, but also words that sounded slightly similar. So some other words pronounced ma with different tones would appear with the horse element. And in this case we have ma, mother, ma question marker, ma to scold, and ma aunt, and so on, and we discussed these earlier. Sometimes, however, the ma element, the horse element, could be used as a meaning element in a character and not as the sound. So it could be used as a radical. There are some words where this is the case, amongst them yan, test or examine, qi, to ride, as in ride a bicycle or ride a horse, and you can see where the meaning comes from here, pian, to swindle, and shuang, to burst in. Some of these may be more closely related to horse than others, but you could, for example, imagine a horse bursting into a door, which is the way the sign is built up. Through the extension of the signs, from the first depictions of actual things to abstract concepts including sound and meaning, the number of characters extended greatly. It is indeed still expanding today. Once I could see that there were links between the different characters, I was keen to find out whether it would make sense to just learn the radicals and some of the other sound elements, and then the rest of the system could just be regularly deduced from that. Well, sadly, the answer to this is no. While there are underlying logical elements within the system overall is arbitrary. Furthermore, some basic characters changed over time, fell out of use, became obscure. Today's Chinese characters are typically divided up into six different types, referred to as the Liu Shu, six scripts or six writings. They can be described in groups of two, consisting of simple characters, combined characters, and exceptions. The two types of simple characters are consisting of only one element. The first one involves descriptions of actual things, like the original pictograms, mu, I, and yue, moon. The other refers to simple characters that are not directly linked to pictograms, but describe more abstract things, such as xia, below, and shang, above, and yi, one. The next two types of characters are combinations of smaller units. The first type is merely a combination of meaning. For example, the character for zhi, sun, and yue, moon, together produces the word ming, which means bright. And I guess meaning-wise, it's a combination of both, right? Sun and moon combined meaning bright. The other type of character in this combination is very common, and this contains a sound element and a meaning part. Ma, mother, that we discussed previously, has the phonetic, the sound element, ma, and it has the radical, the meaning element, nu, which appears squashed in front of this ma sound element. Once you know how the system works, it becomes easier to determine what a character might be pronounced like, or what it may mean. It is said that up to 90% of Chinese characters contain some form of phonetic element or indicator, which means that remembering characters is not as difficult as I initially thought. However, the system is far from being logical, and it is not always clear which element is the phonetic element and which element gives the meaning. While knowing how these characters are built up can be helpful, it is not a given that one can pronounce a word or understand what is meant by merely looking at a character. I came across a word in an old Chinese language book for foreigners. It consisted of two characters, which in turn consisted of various elements. And each character had the bird element as part of it. In the first case, there was an element that I recognized as R in front of this bird. And in the second part, there was an element that I recognized as meow in front of the bird. Now, there were two options here. Either the bird was a meaning element or a sound element. I assumed that this word must refer to a type of bird, and so I assumed that the element within the character depicting the bird was the meaning element. I assumed that the pronunciation must be something like R meow, depicting the other two elements. Looking up this particular combination in a dictionary subsequently, it turned out that this was correct. It was pronounced R meow with two rising tones, and it was indeed referring to an emu. This is a bird that does not exist in Chinese, so it's a loanword. I haven't talked about the exceptions yet. The exceptions to the characters. And they are rare, but they do exist, and they can really throw the learner. Some of these characters have changed over time. They can sometimes be confusing. They include things like yue and le, which are written the same, but pronounced differently and hold different meanings depending on which context they appear in. As I was progressing in my learning, I came across these inconsistencies from time to time, including very common forms, such as le, which is sometimes pronounced liao, lo, which is sometimes pronounced lao, he, which is sometimes pronounced huo.